Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For obvious reasons, we keep this place as gloomy as possible.
Welcome to Mind Poppers Podcast.
We are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies.
Once you get used to these grim surroundings, you'll never leave. Nobody ever does.
We continue now with tonight's case, Conspiracy.
Now. Listen.
Welcome back to the Mind Poppers Podcast. We're getting a little festive, okay, in the Mind Poppers basement this time of year. A lot of our topics, you know, they don't get a whole lot jollier, you know. Still talking about murder, sex, revenge, the occult, okay, all of that. But we do tend to, you know, have a little holiday theme, a little Christmas theme to them. And today is no exception. Because it is Christmas time, I do want to keep it festive, right? And one thing that I'm just obsessed with it, right? And I don't look into it at many times during the year, unless, until Christmas, right? It's this, and I've spoken about it before, I spoke about it every Christmas, it's the phenomena of people claiming and believing, and standing firm in, you know, in their statement, that at one point or another in their youth, that they have seen the real Santa Claus. Okay, sorry, that wasn't dramatic pauses. I was holding back a burp. But people believe that they have seen the real Santa Claus, okay? Or, you know, perceived what they've seen as the real Santa Claus, you know? And we've talked about things, you know, on the podcast, like the collective consciousness. We've talked about tulpas. So, you know, there's a whole lot of what ifs, what it could be or whatever. All that we do know is that there are hundreds of reports out there. Every Christmas, you know, going back to who knows how long ago, where people claim that they saw the real Santa Claus or something that they cannot explain, okay, around Christmas time. And I'm not calling BS on it either, okay? I do sincerely believe that some of you have seen something in your homes, in and about your homes, during Christmas, and maybe we just don't know what it is, okay? Now, I tell this story every year, because this story is kind of my version of that, right? Especially when I talk about this topic. But me, right, and my childhood friend and I, we wrote a letter to Santa, okay, asking for some magic dust that would make us fly. So picture whatever Peter Pan sprinkles on Wendy and the kids that makes them start flying around the room. That kind of a thing. That is what we had asked Santa for. Now, I guess we're going back years, so I would have been, I guess, maybe 10 years old, possibly younger. In and around that, anyway. We decided to write a letter to Santa and requesting magic dust that would allow us, would grant us the power of flight, essentially, right? So we wrote, again, this was around Christmas time, we wrote a little note with our demands to Santa Claus, and we put that note under my friend's pillow. And then we went downstairs for like 10 minutes to give Santa some time to come and collect the note, right? Now, I guess the only thing that was, it was the sheer belief from the two of us, I guess, is what we thought was, you know, going to allow this communication between us and the North Pole with Santa Claus or whatever. We just truly believed that, you know, if we wrote this letter to Santa Claus, with the intention, you know, speaking it aloud that, you know, Santa, whatever, you know, we're contacting you, we're putting the note under this pillow and we're going to leave. And when we come back, we would like to receive your communication. Okay. It does sound a little occulty talking about it now. So we write the note, tell Santa what we want. And we didn't say anything to anyone. Like, we didn't say it to his parents or anything like that. Looking back now, as far as I'm concerned, nobody knew what we were doing. Nobody could have known. Again, look, there's always, you know, who am I to say? But as far as I'm aware, nobody knew what we were doing. Okay, because obviously, like, you know, it's not like we were two losers, okay? Like, it's not like I'm not going to go and say that to someone. I'm not going to go say that to someone's parents or whatever. I'm like, oh yeah, we're waiting back from a letter from Santa. You know, no. Okay, I had a belief in the occult and the mysteries of the universe, but I wasn't, you know, going around telling people that I was writing letters to Santa. Like, outside of my regular letter to Santa that I was putting up the chimney, you know, with my request for Christmas. That's fine. There was no shame in that game. But I mean, just on a normal December day, you know, I wasn't telling them that I was trying to contact Santa Claus by putting a letter under a pillow, okay? So we had kept it under wraps and we had left the room and we had went downstairs. And, you know, again, this was just the sheer belief of children that this could be done, that this communication could be made. Didn't think anything of it, okay? So we went back upstairs, okay, after those 10 minutes, and the note was gone, okay? The note was gone, and this isn't a word of a lie, okay? This is, again, one of the things that I will always think back on, I mean, just something that one of the unexplainable things in my life, okay? One of the few unexplainable things, one of the mysteries that makes up my lore as a person that I have never been able to get to the bottom of. The note was gone, and under the pillow, in its place, was a little container of what appeared to be glitter. Okay? And you remember, we asked for fairy dust that would allow us to fly. So the letter was gone, and underneath the pillow was a little container of glitter. Now, I'm pretty sure it was glitter. I'm pretty sure it was glitter, okay? Of course, I didn't have the means to test what the substance actually was. It was definitely giving more microplastics than it was fairy dust. I'll say that, okay? But the strange thing is we never knew how it got there, okay? As far as we were concerned, no one knew that we had written the note to begin with, like I said. And I mean, the most logical thing is that someone had overheard us in his bedroom and thought on their feet, basically, you know, had this like thing of glitter on hand or whatever, you know. And look, my memory does fade, so I can't exactly remember what the glitter came in. I believe it was like a little metal case, like a little metal trinket case, almost, maybe something like kind of like a little old and like metal cigarette case or something. Again, memory, you know, it doesn't serve at this point. And look, it's possible that someone in the family maybe overheard us or something. I don't think so. I really don't, but it's possible. So we wrote a second note, okay? Seeing as, you know, We believed that we had stumbled upon or discovered or manifested, possibly, whatever you want to call it, some sort of rip in like space time, okay, that allowed us to directly communicate with Santa Claus, okay. This time, right? So we wrote another note, and we had asked for hoverboards, okay, which wasn't, you know, a tall ask, seeing as we had just been provided with a supernatural powder that would grant us the gift of flight. We asked for hoverboards, whatever it was about that year. We were obsessed with hoverboards, a technology that did not exist, you know, then, nor does it exist now. So we left the note under the pillow, and same thing, went downstairs, 10 minutes, we came back, and the note was gone. Again, The note was gone from under the pillow. And there was another note in its place from Santa saying that he would be unable to provide us with hoverboards as he was giving all the hoverboards to poor children in Africa. Now, this is where memory doesn't serve, and there's two possible things in the story here that I'm unsure of. I'm leaning towards, okay, but I'll tell you what, either we wrote the letter, right, this note to Santa, again, the second one, and put it under the envelope, sorry, and put it under the pillow, and then went away and came back, and the note was gone, and there was a new note there. That's one. Now, the memory that I lean into, that I tend to believe, but again, it's just, I can't remember 100% sure, so I can't say this is fact. I'd be lying if I said it was fact. As far as I'm concerned, right, me and him wrote that second letter to Santa Claus about the the hoverboard request, right? As far as I was concerned, we wrote that letter together and went next door to my grandmother's house. And as you know, many traditions, Irish tradition, especially when you're sending a letter off to Santa, we got that letter where we requested the hoverboard, the note even, and we actually threw it into the fire in my grandmother's house. You know, with the idea that it would go up the chimney or whatever, blah, 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 and then it would reach Santa. But then his response came underneath the pillow, okay? Which would cut out anyone being able to read what was actually on the note in terms of outside of the two of us, like any adult or whatever that was, you know, say, going along, say, with our delusions or blah, blah, blah. That which is spooky now looking back. And again, I can't say that's 100% sure, but it was like we were communicating through the fire and then something was leaving a note in kind of this agreed place. Again, it's giving very occult now that I look back on it, okay? It is giving very occult. which is kind of spooky. I'm actually kind of getting a little bit more scared than I thought there would. Anyway. So we requested hoverboards, okay? Like I said, the technology didn't exist, and it didn't exist now. And we were talking like actual hoverboards that were like flying down the street, and you're actually hovering, not those stupid little things that you're standing on with the two wheels, okay? So anyway, the note that came back to us, right, from Santa, it was saying that he was going to be unable to provide us hoverboards as he was giving all the hoverboards to poor children in Africa. Okay, which does tend to be like, that's like a parental response. Okay, you can't get this, it's going to the children in Africa. That does seem like a very kind of get out of jail parental response. Okay, which does kind of, you know, it does pose questions. What's really going on here? Let's break some of that down. Okay, we could start with Africa. Okay, so again, like if we're going by what was said, you have the capacity to provide these kids with some technology, you know, that NASA probably hasn't even have yet, you know. You give that to the kids in Africa, but you can't give them food and water, okay? So even as a child, I knew something wasn't adding up, okay? As well, I suppose, looking back now, something I do take umbrage with is the fairy dust, okay? While I still can't explain it, and it does, again, remain one of the great mysteries of my life, something was a little off, okay? So going under the assumption that it was just normal glitter we had requested, you know, we'd requested fairy dust that would allow us to fly. Keep in mind, at this point, we were both absolutely convinced that we were bearing witness to some sort of paranormal or otherworldly event, you know, and had no reason to question the legitimacy of the fairy dust, other than it clearly looked like glitter. Like, clearly looked like glitter. So, if that glitter was planted there by somebody, you are kind of giving these two kids the illusion that they could in fact fly through the magical power provided by the fairy dust. So I'm like, again, all looking back now, and I'm just thinking aloud here, But if it wasn't Santa Claus, then who was trying to take me the fuck out, okay? If it was not a supernatural thing, right, then some sick fuck was sitting back, right, waiting for me to sprinkle some glitter on my head and jump from the second floor window.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay? Like, the more I think about it, the more I'm like feeling like this was actually a sinister plan. Cleverly orchestrated, okay, for me to seriously hurt myself. Okay? Like, me thinking I'm about to take off. Again, two innocent children, you know, with nothing but belief and imagination, believed that we had somehow been communicating with Father Claus, okay? So me thinking, obviously, that I am about to take off, you know? Like, if I sprinkled some of that fairy dust in my head, you know, thinking I'm about to take off, and instead start plummeting, okay? Plummeting to the earth. Like I said, I could have sprinkled some of that glitter on my head and jumped from the second floor window, okay? Thinking I'm going to fly, and then just crash down to the earth. Okay, now with any luck, okay, I would have landed on both their shitzes, okay? Causing them to, like, explode like watermelons upon impact. But, again, I could have ended up in a wheelchair, okay? I'm actually furious now that I've never thought about this from a sabotage aspect before. I've never really thought it through. And I'm telling you this, if I ended up in a chair, oh, no one in my family would have ever been allowed to enjoy Christmas again. I promise you that. Okay? I promise you that. And I've no answers to this. And I'm going to get into this story about someone else's Santa sighting, and then we're going to regroup at the end, because I have some thoughts, I have some questions, maybe some theories as to, you know, what was actually going on here, but we'll hear from this other person, and we'll see, okay? Like, now, like I said, the phenomena, right, that it piques my interest, and again, hundreds of stories online, all you've got to do is type it in, into the internet. So someone said, right, their story. I've been holding on to this for 25 years. I'm in my 30s now, and this happened when I was 7 years old. I've only told the story to my parents and to my wife, namely because of the overwhelming fear of pure doubt and skepticism. Okay, well, that's exactly how I feel, okay, telling my truth, okay, hashtag my truth, on this podcast. So I hope that I'm met with the same reverence that we're going to afford this guy. So I was 7 years old in 1990 and spending Christmas as usual at my grandparents' house. Normally, I slept in my own room, but as a child, I never ever slept on Christmas night out of excitement. So my grandparents let me sleep in the bed between them. We went to bed around 10 a.m. and as usual, I was just lying there, wide awake. A little while later, I hear distinct heavy footprints walk into the room, along with the light sound of bells. Now, the room was very dark at the time, so I could only make out the unmistakable shape of Santa out of the corner of my eyes. I was laying on my right side at the time, facing my grandfather's back. My grandpa has always been the loudest snorer in the world, and this time was no exception. Petrified, frozen, and pretending to sleep, I just laid there for what seemed like an eternity. Almost silently, the figure had moved from the foot of the bed to the side my grandfather was on. Every time he snored thereon, the distinct glove of Santa patted him gently. This went on maybe half a dozen pats, and then the figure had moved again to the foot of the bed. The figure gestured slightly, and the next thing I knew, I was passed out, fast asleep till the morning. Oh, I'm getting chills. Sometimes I'll be telling these stories on the podcast, and I mean, this one's not too bad, but like, we usually, sometimes we talk a lot about scarier stuff, not all the time, not often, but, and then when I'm recording this by myself, I do be looking, sometimes you'll hear my voice kind of not be kind of, you can tell it's directly not going into the microphone. It's because I start looking over my shoulder when I'm recording. Because I do be getting freaked out, because I already am forming these like theories in my head of what it could be, and then I start getting, I'm like, ooh. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry to take you out of that. Where were we? He patted him on the head. Oh yeah, so this figure had made a gesture, and he said that the next thing I knew, I was passed out, fast asleep till the morning. Now, I'm the first person to discount a story like this with a, yeah, okay, buddy. So let me myth-bust a few things. Was it your dad? My dad was not nearly the size of this figure. Moreover, he was never ever the type to do something like this, even for a child. Could it have been a family friend dressed as Santa? I guess, but it would have been the most unusual time for a Santa to come in. Late at night, long after everyone is legit asleep, and in the pitch black. Don't you think they'd have wanted their friend to come when they could actually see my reaction when I'm awake? Finally, that would have been the most insanely elaborate costume ever. Could it have been a dream? Absolutely not. I was wide awake and there was far too much detail. Could it have been some sort of hallucination, or as user Tandran described, a tulpa? Possibly. And we've spoke about tulpas. Oh my god, we spoke about, this was, I think it was a Patreon episode maybe like a month ago. We talked about this tulpa, the Philip experiment. That to me, one of the weirdest things we've ever discussed on the podcast, but whatever. What did your parents or grandparents have to say about it? My grandparents had no recollection, as they were fast asleep. They, along with my father, were all sarcastically sure he had appeared, buddy, to me. My mother, on the other hand, still believes me to this day, because she, coincidentally, exactly when she was 7, said she too saw Santa. Look, I'm embarrassed to even post this. I know that the modern image of Santa is largely driven from pop culture. I'm a father myself now with 3 kids, so I do all the Christmas grunt work, but I still maintain that that one Christmas I saw something or someone that looked like Santa. Ooh. You know what? I guess the most interesting thing in that story, I mean, two things that kind of jumped out to me. Again, look, everything that he dismissed himself, whether that being like, is it a family member coming dressed up as Santa? I mean, look, they're not coming in the dead of night when everyone's asleep, okay? That is going to terrorize a child and scare them forever, not fill them with the Christmas spirit. So, I mean, you guess you can, like, rule that out. Fairly logically, whatever. Again, assuming it wasn't all just the dream of a child. Another thing that kind of jumped to me was when the figure kind of, you know, gestured towards him, putting him into a deep sleep, kind of a thing. And then the other thing being that his mother always believed him, because she too, at that same age, when she was 7, said she too saw Santa. Now that to me is much more like, oh, something going on, a lot going on, you know, that your mother also saw this thing at the same age. And this, right, is, I guess, what I saw theories, right, and I don't like this one because it's particularly, like, it's not very festive, but it's, and it's not ho ho ho, I was molested, okay? I don't think that everyone who saw Santa when they were younger got molested, okay? Some of y'all, but not everybody. I saw this thing, right? I think someone referred to the thing as fake screening, basically, right? Where it is when someone is, we'll say, the victim of abduction, alien abduction, that when, say, this alien or creature or whatever is, like, say, in your room or whatever, it can alter the way your mind perceives it, okay? So that you're seeing Santa Claus when actually that's not what... Oh, sorry, I'm hearing noises and I'm getting fucking freaked out. Which that's not actually what's there, we'll say. Which I know is is just a horrible, horrible, horrible thought. And I'm sorry that I even brought it up. I really am. Now I'm freaked and you're probably freaked. And that's not what Christmas is about. It's really not. But yeah, that's just one thing, okay? Let's push that aside. Let's just say it's probably not that thing. So that we can all sleep tonight. Probably not that thing, okay? What else is it? Is it a tulpa? Is it something that you manifest yourself, you know, that you create through sheer belief? Possibly. Okay, that's a nicer thing. I mean, the nicest thing of all, maybe it was just fucking Santa. Okay? You know, let's hear it for that. Maybe it was just fucking Santa Claus. That's nice, you know? Although the little kind of like gesture with the hand puts you to sleep thing, that's giving, again, back to mind control kind of a thing. Something, I don't know. Like going back to my thing, I'm like, that's giving paranormal. That's giving occult. Okay, that's me giving me like communicating. Like, who was I communicating with? Okay, who was writing the notes? You know, it poses a lot of questions. Now, what do I think was happening if I had to make a guess? I never got clarity on what was going on with my situation. I never did. You know. Could it have been someone, could it have just been an adult, you know, feeding into our delusion? Like I said, absolutely it could have been. I can't rule that out. Again, probably not the best idea to give kids, you know, to give kids fairy dust that, you know, which they believe that they can fly. Okay, terrible idea. And then I'm like, is it something, could I have been communicating with something else? Something that was, you know, presenting itself as, say, Saint Nick, okay? Because, you know, it's like, you know, that's the true story of the Annabelle doll, you know, where, you know, the psychic was talking to the Annabelle doll and, you know, so claiming then, believe that it was, you know, say being possessed by the spirit of a young girl, only then for Ed and Lorraine Warren or whatever to find out later on that it was actually a demonic entity that was presenting itself as a little girl. So something like that, maybe. Again, it is very, very deeply engraved in the occult, you know, writing this letter to Santa, to this, again, to this being that you cannot see, but you believe in, and burning that letter, you know. Again, and I don't say that in a bad way. I think it's beautiful, you know. I think it's very spiritual and I love it. But I don't know. I really, really don't know what happened there. Who was out for me? Who was I communicating with? I've never gotten to the bottom of this. Just like this guy, okay? What did he see? The mother thing, that poses a lot of questions to me as well, that the mother always believed him because she claims that she saw Santa as well. And it's like, what's Santa doing there? What's Santa doing in the room, okay? I don't think that he was diddling anybody, okay? I don't, you know, Merry Christmas, I was molested. I don't think it was one of those situations, but you never know, okay? Again, there's no answer. I have no answers for you. I really, really don't. Next week, well, over on the Patreon, at least, I will be doing a little bit more Christmas deep dive, okay? So if you want to hear more of that, come over and join. It's only a fiver. It's not a fiver. It used to be the fiver on the first of every month. Now it's a fiver, and then it's just, you don't get charged the next time until that date, say next month. And you can cancel whenever, you know, so you're not tied to anything. And this is it's a gift for yourself, okay? A Patreon subscription is a gift to yourself. This is the time of month to treat yourself, okay? So come over and join us there. In the meantime, stay woke.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.